enjoyed singing with you all. I don't know about you, but having Christmas Land on a Sunday this year certainly changed our Christmas normal traditions and patterns. And not saying it's what I would want to have every year, but I have looked forward to being with my church family this morning. I really have. And having that be a part of our celebrations together this Christmas year. So as we were singing, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It reminded me of a story my grandfather told. He came to faith, my dad's dad, came to faith in Christ in his early 30s. And he was always convinced that Christ was going to come back during his lifetime. He just lived with that constant reality. And at about 6 months after he was saved, it was Thanksgiving weekend, and he was outside working. And that point in time, they lived just down the road from the city park. And in that park, apparently after Thanksgiving Day, they started Christmas carols over loudspeakers that played all through the rest of the month till after Christmas. And he didn't know that. And when they cranked up the speaker and turned it on, the first song was a bunch of loud trumpets coming across with one of the Christmas carols. And he was convinced that Christ was coming back. And he actually sat down and wept when he realized what was going on. I also so appreciate my church family. You know, my parents were here last night, and they kind of sat back and enjoyed watching you all after the service last night, and reminded them of days that they miss when their church was much closer to our size and much easier to be a family together. And they have been excited and loved to see what God has done as He has doubled the size of their congregation, constantly seeing people saved and baptized, which is a great joy, but they miss some of the family feel that we got to enjoy this morning. So anyhow, I'm going to quit rambling, and I do want to direct our thoughts just briefly this morning to God's Word. Been doing, obviously, the series on the characters of Christmas, as we've talked about Joseph, we've talked about Mary, talked about the shepherds, we talked about the wise men. And obviously this morning we come to the main character. We want to talk about Christ today. And so going to take us to a wonderful Christmas passage, the Gospel of John, verse 14, which I imagine most of you have, or many of you have, put to memory. It simply says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I just want us to walk through the different parts of that verse this morning. I don't intend to be long, and I don't intend to, but I do think it's worthwhile for us to just stop for a few minutes and to think about that incredible gift of Christ given to us. And so let's just think about this together. The verse starts with the Word. The Word. Who is the Word? Well, the Word is God. That's why, and I loved it that God had moved Doug to read, and that's why I went ahead and read it for us this morning, the opening verses where we are told that in the beginning was the Word, eternal God, and the Word was with God, and so the Word is separate from, distinct from God the Father, and the Word was God. The Word is God, and we do not worship three gods, we worship one God, and yet that God has eternally existed as three persons. And so the Word, the full, accurate, and complete revelation of God. The God the Son is not just, yet John chooses to describe Him with this term of the Word. So what we have in Jesus Christ is the full, accurate, complete representation of God in human flesh. When Jesus showed up in time and in space, He perfectly revealed who God is, how He acts, His heart towards man. We see the fullness of God reaching out in compassion, and touching the leopard, the unclean, untouchable one to heal him. And we see the fullness of the character of God intentionally premeditated, making a whip, carrying it into the temple, and driving the money changers from the presence of the worship of God. We see the fullness and character of God in the person of Jesus Christ, We are told elsewhere that no one has seen God at any time, but Jesus has made him known to us in his life and in his ministry. And so, first we have the Word, God, God eternal, Jesus, stepping into time and into space, which is where the text takes us next. The Word became flesh. God incarnate. That word we throw around, but sometimes we don't always think about or understand what it is, but to be incarnate means that God has become a man. Now, to remove any confusion as to who John is talking about, in the very next verse, we are told very plainly that it is in reference to Jesus of Nazareth, because John testified about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I sent, whom I said, he who comes after me is higher than I, for he existed before me." So there is no confusion as to who it is that John is calling the Word made flesh. It's this man, Jesus of Nazareth, a historical figure that even the world, who does not believe him to be the Son of God or the Savior of mankind, knows and recognizes that there was a historical figure named Jesus who came out of Nazareth in the first century and was crucified during the reign during the rule of Pontius Pilate in Palestine. And so, God became a man. I mean, that is the miracle that fills our hearts and our minds during the Christmas season, of how in the world, it's true. We know it's to be true. We believe it with every ounce of our being, and we kind of sort of understand it, but we don't. And we know we can't. We can't get our heads around it. For God to subject himself, to enter into the womb of a woman as a single cell, for God to work a miracle on an egg in Mary's womb, attach it to the uterus wall, and for it to begin to multiply and to form that child, that human being. God became a man. And I was thinking even this morning, you know, there's so much confusion throughout the history around, and when Satan regularly attacks the person of Christ when he wants to try to get the church out into the weeds. And we tend to emphasize his deity to the loss of his humanity. Or we tend to emphasize his humanity to the obscurity and loss of his deity. And yet here we have this one being, truly God and truly man. The Word became flesh. In this we see the love of God. The scene in heaven as God lays out the plan of salvation and says that only one of us is going to have to redeem him. One of us is going to have to go and be one of them. The Creator is going to have to become the creature. Humble himself that he might exalt the creature that he has created. And Christ says, "Oh, I'll do it. For your glory, Father, I'll go." The Word became flesh. The text goes on to say, and he dwelt among us. So may I imagine many of you know this. This is not new revelation to many of you. But that word dwelt quite literally means pitched his tent. Christ came and set up camp among his people. He came to earth. And that he was truly human. He wasn't kind of human. He wasn't a superhuman. Everything essential to being human, he was. He came and he lived our lives. I know I reference it all the time, but Isaiah 53, where it talks about how he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. We oftentimes, we think about salvation, we run to Calvary, where the climax certainly takes place, and we are right to do so. But all of the life of Christ, every moment of it, every act of obedience, every resistance of temptation, every miracle, every rejection, every moment of suffering, he buried his earthly adoptive father. He was not appreciated by his siblings. He knew family strife. He knew challenges and heartache. He was tempted in all ways as we are. The great difference is he remained without sin. He lived our lives. And he was dwelling among us for a purpose. He came to do what we have failed to do, to obey God and to pay the penalty for our disobedience as our substitute. Right? We've sung, I really love that new Christmas carol, Exult in the Savior's Birth. I really appreciate it. I love it. I think it's the fourth verse that starts off by saying that scriptures say that Mary's boy was born that he might die. We just can't get away from that, can we? When we come to the Christmas season, we just can't get away from the fact that he came for the express purpose of offering himself as a sacrifice. He did it joyfully. I mean, later on in John's gospel, he'd say, no one takes my life from me. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And then we find that on the cross in John's gospel. He's very careful to tell us that once Jesus knew all of it was finished, he says it. It's finished. And the text says, and he gave up his spirit because no one could take it away from him. And then 3 days later, no one could keep it from him. He had authority to lay it down, and he had authority to take it up again. He dwelt among us, living our lives and paying our debt. A little kid song, I wish I could find it. I haven't been able to find it anywhere, and I can't remember any of it other than this line that I'm about to quote to you. Is, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. Jesus came and washed my sins away. He dwelt among us that he might redeem us. And that brings us to the end of the verse, where John, who walked with this man, who loved this man, who reclined on his chest the night that he was betrayed, who followed him to the priest's house, who went to the cross, who was the first to believe on the resurrection day, he said, we beheld his glory. As he looked at the Word made flesh, he beheld, he understood, I am beholding God in the glory of who he is. Now, it's glory as of the only begotten from the Father. I preached in our last church through the Gospel of John. It took me 3.5 years. And John goes on then to help us see the glory of God. I'm not going to preach through the Gospel of John this morning. But we see Jesus' glory displayed in signs. John records for 7 signs, 7 miracles that Jesus did that proved that he was God, but also proved each sign uniquely demonstrates how he saves people from their sin. So he displayed the glory of God through his signs. He displayed the glory of God through his teaching. Once again, John uses 7 I am statements where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I am the light of the world. There's 7 of them. You can do a simple Google search and it'll tell you what they are. If you ask me sometime when I'm thinking a little clearer, I can tell you what they all are as well. He revealed the glory of God in what he taught. And ultimately, he displayed God's glory on the cross. The clearest picture we get of God in all of his glory is Christ crucified. Because on the cross, justice and mercy meet. Grace and wrath kiss. God loved you so much that he was not willing to spare his own son, but to pour his wrath out on him so that we could sit here this morning and sing praises because God and sinner has been reconciled through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we have seen his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Once again, the Word. Jesus is the truth of God, whose mission was to bring the grace of God to sinners. The fullness of grace. That includes when he was saying, you whitewashed tombs, you brood of vipers. That was a statement full of grace. It was also the fullness of truth. perfectly revealing God, perfectly teaching us about God. And once again, that grace and that truth meet most fully in the cross of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we rejoice. We rejoice and have great joy because God became a man. And the wonder of all wonders is he ascended back into heaven as a man. He didn't just take on our humanity for a season. He took it on for an eternity. And the day is coming when he is going to come back for his own. And we're going to be singing a new song with a new sense of joy and a sense of freedom as the limitations of our flesh and the limitations of our knowledge and the barriers of our sin and all of those things taken away. When we see him, we will be made like him. What glory. What glory is ours because of the humiliation of our Savior on our behalf. And he did it for the pure joy that was set before him. A few thoughts to direct us to the wonder of Christ this Christmas season. I'd like to lead us in a quick word of prayer, and then I think we're going to do a final song, and then we'll have time to be together some more as a family. Father, we're so thankful for today. We're thankful for the gift of Christ. Fill our hearts, our lives with joy. Grant us the knowledge of your peace today, Lord God, that in the world, yes, we have all sorts of challenges and struggles, but we have peace with you, a peace that surpasses understanding, freedom for our souls, life eternal, a joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the hymn says, the half of which has never yet been told. May your blessing, Lord God, we pray, rest upon us, your people. And grant us to see a little clearer today the glory of our salvation. Father, as we go back out into the world, help us to be lights, shining forth the light, the glory of Christ, that those around us, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, might see the glory of our Savior and run to him for the salvation for which we are so grateful. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.